Now, as Sam was going through and reading through Colossians, I realized just how many quotable quotes there are in this book. There's just so many. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into this kingdom, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That tells us that the kingdom is here. We are in the kingdom now. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, which some groups tend to abuse and say, "Oh, see that he's the firstborn," but they don't keep reading. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Those same groups who think that he was the firstborn, in terms of being a created being. Forget that. That means he would have created himself if that's the case, because all things were created through him. And that's what we see in verse 16. But indeed, he created all things because he has been here since the very beginning. And that's the great thing we see about Jesus there. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's how we understand what he means by firstborn. He's talking about firstborn from the dead, and that he was the first to have been raised in a resurrection. That's what we see there. Not that other people have been raised from the dead, but what he means is raised never to die again. And that's what Jesus is. Someone who is raised never to die again. The first to have done that, and that's a promise that we have one day. That in all things he may have the preeminence. Verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, that in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2 has so many too. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Man, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells within Jesus Christ. That's amazing. That's hard to fathom, something I know Sam will get to when he gets to that verse. But man, that's hard to just think about, that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him in bodily form. How is that even possible? Well, it is through Jesus Christ. There's so many things. And he mentioned all the things in chapter 3 that we can look at. Or that I'm sure he'll look at, singing in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16. We see chapter 4, verse 6, one I quote often, or at least try to tell myself often. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. But you know what the most important verse, I think, in this whole book is, in this whole book of Colossians? At least in terms of our obedience and what our obligations are, is found in chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Think about how great he explains who Jesus is in the first few chapters, or especially in the first chapter of this book. How amazing and awesome. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily within him. He created all things. All things consist or subsist through him. That's an amazing thing. And yet now for us, we must do all things in his name. Now, does that mean doing what we like, doing whatever we want, and saying, "Oh, I'm doing this in Jesus' name. I do this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I do this." You know what that is? That's taking the Lord's name in vain. You know how in what we consider to be the third of the Ten Commandments, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, which of course we see in the New Testament in several places as well. You know, often we think of that as don't say things like OMG, or don't say things of that nature, as using it as sort of an epithet, using the Lord's name. And that's true. But so is saying you're doing something in Jesus' name when you're really not. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Vainly using the name of the Almighty God to justify whatever you want. That's not what it means to be a Christian. That's not obeying this verse. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That means by his authority. That means by doing things the way he wants it, how he wants it, in the prescribed manner that he has given it. And he doesn't always do that for every little thing. You know, he's not a micromanager. But he is. But for the things that he does explicitly state, man, we need to do. We need to do. We find one of those is in the preceding verse with regard to our singing. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That includes in our worship. We can't do whatever we want in worship and think that that's acceptable to God. We find singing here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. No mention of an instrument. No mention of a band or anything of that nature. I think it's more explicit, more clear in Ephesians 5:19 that that's not something that we need to do in our worship. This passage here explicitly states the purpose of our singing. It is to teach and to admonish one another. To teach and to admonish one another. Not to be entertained. That's not why we sing. We sing so that we can teach and admonish one another. And how can we do that when there's a piano playing over our singing? Well, we can't. We can't do that. So that's why, one of the reasons anyway, why we don't use that, because we need to do everything in word and deed, all in the name of the Lord. We have no authority in the New Testament to use that. And that's just one thing. I mean, there are so many things. That's why we need to make sure that in everything we have, everything that we do, we have his authority. Well, do we have authority to eat a cheeseburger? Well, that's something that we do in deed, is it not? Well, yes, in fact, we do have authority to eat a cheeseburger. Wait, how do you figure? They didn't have cheeseburgers back then, at least not the way we have them. Well, we are told to eat. All things are, we have to eat in order to survive. All things are pure. All things are made clean. Purifying all things, we see in Mark chapter 7. So, therefore, we have authority to eat a cheeseburger. Doesn't always make it wise every day to eat a cheeseburger. Because that can be a little unhealthy, but we have authority to do so, as long as we're not being gluttonous or turning it into some kind of idol. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. What do we have to do to be saved? What does the Bible say we have to do to be saved? Well, we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We've got to repent of our sins, turn away from them, do the things that we find in the earlier part of chapter 3 of Colossians. But now, verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do to repent, turning away from our wickedness and turning toward him. Making sure that when we say we're doing something in the name of the Lord, we actually are doing something in the name of the Lord through his authority by the word of God. Then we need to confess his name. Let people know, hey, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we've got to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Baptism is mentioned here in chapter 2 and verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. In order to be raised with him, we have to be crucified or die with him. And that is where we come back out of the waters, raised to walk in newness of life. We see in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. So we've got to do these things to be saved. And I encourage you, if you haven't done these things, to recognize your state and to know that what we need to do in order to be in that right relationship with God and to do it. And of course, if you are a Christian, if you've already done all these things and you need to make things right, I encourage you to do that too. The Word of God is a wonderful and a blessed thing. And I thank Sam for going over Colossians, and I hope I didn't step on any toes I hope I stepped on a lot of toes. No. I hope I didn't play in your playground too much with this lesson. So I thank you for going over it. If you have a need this evening, I encourage you, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.